Thank you this morning that as your word goes out, that it does not return void, but that your word touches our hearts and touches our lives, and we make the necessary adjustments in our own hearts and lives. So we just say thank you, Father, that it doesn't return void. And Father, we give you alone all the praise and the honor and the glory and the thanks in terms of what you are doing in our hearts and in our lives, and also within His Way Church as a body of believers. We just say thank you to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Folks, good. I want to get straight into what I would like to share here this morning. And the title of this message is Godliness Does Not Just Happen. Godliness does not just happen. And that is the truth. Because so often we believe, you know, we just become believers and we think, well, you know, I'm now a child of God and I'm just going to somehow by osmosis become godly. And it doesn't work like that. In fact, a committed Christian wants nothing more than to have a deep, deep relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Is that true? Those of us that are truly committed to the Lord, we want to have a deep relationship with the Lord. And it's amazing because it's at that point that God comes along and He places like a hunger and a desire on the inside of His people to draw closer and closer and closer to Him. And we start to say, Lord, more of You and less of me. More of You, Lord, in my life and less of this world and this world system. So godliness has value in everything that we are and everything that we do. Amen. That's true. And godliness requires, there's two things that godliness requires in us. The first one is this, that it requires divine intervention from God. And I'll speak a little bit more about this right now. God has to be involved for you and I to be godly. It's as simple as that. That's the one thing. And the other thing, godliness requires human investment. That means that we have to do something. So God is involved and we are involved for us to become really godly people and start to walk in the favor and the blessings of the Lord. So here's a question. What investment should you and I make so that we move towards this godliness? And of course, there's a whole bunch of things. You know, we can invest in knowing the Word of God better, spending more time in the Word. We can invest in spending time just in God's presence, just speaking to Him, praying. We can invest in serving other people, because the Bible speaks about that, and I'll mention those scriptures here this morning. We can invest in worshiping God in song, like we did this morning. The Bible speaks a lot about that, and I'll talk more about that now. And we can also invest, and here's the big one, in seeking and saving the lost. Seeking and saving the lost. This is known as the Great Commission. So I'll be speaking about that as well. Because I believe that all of us that are here today have a desire to be more godly and to have a deeper relationship with the Lord. Is that true? Otherwise, you wouldn't even be here. So I was just pondering this, you know. Today is Spring Day. Spring Day. The spring has sprung. The birds are chirping. And that means that there's going to be cake and cookie after church this morning. All right. So the spring has sprung. So it is Spring Day. But just think about this. It was only about, well, not about, it was 9 months ago that people were kind of sitting around and thinking about New Year's resolutions. Do you remember that? Hasn't this year gone fast? Eh? Or was it just us? Me? Has it gone fast? It's kind of just gone, you know, and there's only a few months left, and we know we write off December because December is kind of unraveled, and we kind of write off November because we're preparing for September, so we've really just got October. Eh? December, yes. Exactly. What my wife said. What my wife, that thing, okay. So, folks, like I said, it wasn't long ago we were sitting around and coming up with New Year's resolutions like, yeah, now 2019, 2019 is going to be a great year. 2019 is going to be a better year. You know, I'm going to go out this year, 2019, and I'm going to kind of lose some weight, and I'm going to go to the gym 4 times a week, right? And I'm going to make sure that I just get myself into, you know, much better physical shape, and I'm going to eat well. I'm going to eat so much better. I'm going to do the right thing, you know, when it comes to my body. I'm also going to, you know, when it comes to my job, I'm going to find a better job, right? I'm really going to find a better job. You know, I'm going to get a new job, and some of us were saying, well, I'm just going to get better at my job. And others of us were going to say, gee whiz, you know what? Last year was a bit of a stretch and a strain. 2019, I'm going to go and make a lot more money. Am I right? You talk to people, there are lists and lists of these things that we're going to do. But basically, folks, this is interesting, because what people are saying is that they want a better life. Want a better life. Nobody makes a New Year's resolution so that their life can get worse. Sorry, I'm in the right place here. Is that true? Huh? How many of us have made New Year's resolutions so that our life can really get worse? I don't think any of us. But it's interesting, because as the days kind of roll over and the days become weeks, and as the weeks roll over and the weeks become months, the question is, have things improved? Have things improved? Has life got better just as we expected it to get better? We need to ask ourselves this question. Because we actually find that changing our externals, and this is what we do with our resolutions and so on, that changing our externals only brings short-term happiness. And that's true, only short-term happiness. And what happens is that, yeah, I'm going to go to gym, you know, and all of these things, man, by the 14th of January, that thing is actually blown out of the window. You know, I mean, I'm just not there. So what happens is, and we see it, we start to drift back, and we drift back, and eventually it's the same old and the same old. So the question is there any hope of experiencing a better life for the long haul? That's the question. Is there anything that we can do? All right, any hope? So today I want to speak about that, and I want to talk about some of the challenges of godliness, and also how, you'll see it in the word, how living a godly life can truly help us lead a better life here on planet Earth while we are here doing what we do, and also to prepare us for an eternity in the presence of Almighty God. We need to see these scriptures. So I want to start off by asking the question. So just to make sure we're all on the same page, right? Question is, do you want a better life? Do you want things to improve? Okay, so 50% of us want things to improve. I'm so excited about that. All right, I'll speak for the other 50%. They just didn't say it, but we would all like things to get better. Amen. In John 10:10, Jesus said this. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy." Then he said this, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So Jesus came that you and I would be able to have this abundant life. And this is part of what he purchased for us when he died on the cross at Calvary, this abundant life. I want to read the same verse out of the Message Bible. It says, "And the thief is only there to steal and to kill and destroy. I came," this is Jesus, "so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." That you and I could have a better life, better than we ever even dreamed of. So if you would like to experience, you know, this better life that Jesus is speaking about right there, won't you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4? And I'm just going to be reading verse 7 and 8 right there. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. It says, "Have nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myths. Rather," now listen to this, Train yourself for godliness. That's interesting. We don't just become godly, right? The word says that we must train yourself for godliness. So this thing of godliness is not just going to happen. This means that you and I have to do something about it. This means that we have to kind of work at this thing. For while bodily training is of some value, now that's your hallelujah, you know, your New Year's resolution that you are going to go to gym is even in the Bible, right? It says, for while bodily training is of some value, so you go to gym and working out your muscles and getting fit and getting your cardio going and, you know, all of those sort of things, you know, converting your one pack into a six pack and whatever you do in gym, those things. The Bible says, for bodily training is of some value. So it's good. But it goes on to say, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds the promise for this present life, and also for the life to come. In other words, what this is saying right here is that a disciplined life in God has great value. It has great value for us now while we are here on planet Earth, and also for us as we move into eternity as well. So we win-win situation. We win if we make this decision. While we are here, we will reap the benefits of a godly life, and also it is preparing us for the eternity that we are going into. So we should not be really investing ourselves into things that are worthless in the long term. It doesn't mean that we don't do those things and enjoy those things, you know, of this world and this world system that the Lord wouldn't mind us enjoying. But let's not just, that's what it becomes all about. We need to choose, folks, to live, and we need to choose to invest with eternity in our hearts. I'll say it again. Live with eternity in your heart. Do you? Do I? Do we live with eternity in our heart? Because we need to be well prepared for the eternity that we're going to be moving into. One of the big things that I've just seen over the years is this thing of jobs, our job, our work, whatever it is. Is your job your reason for being? It's all about the job, right? It's all about my work, right? Is it your job that gives you significance? Instead of us getting our significance from the Lord, we get our significance from our job. Is it our jobs where we actually get our security? So we get our significance and our security from our job instead of getting our significance and our security from the Lord. Folks, it's important that we have work. We need to work and we need to earn a living and so on. But is this more important than preparing us for the eternity that we're going to be moving into? Because sometimes our preparation for eternity takes second place because of our job, what we're doing here. I'm just saying. We need to just get our priorities right here. And Paul tells us that living a godly life, we've just seen that scripture, living a godly life is of value in this life we live in right now, and it is also of value for the eternity, for eternal life as well. So the real question is then, how do we actually become godly? I'm so pleased you asked that question. Well, let's have a look. If you got your Bible, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's just see what Peter has to say. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading from verse 3 to 8. So here we're going to have a look and see now what Peter actually says about godliness. Amen. Verse 3, it says, God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. This power was given to us through knowledge of the one who called us by his own glory and integrity. Through his glory and integrity, he has given us promises that are of the highest value. Through these promises, you will share in the divine nature because you have escaped the corruption and the sinful desires caused in the world. Now it gets interesting. Verse 5. Because of this, make every effort to add integrity to your faith. Now, when we get born again, you know, we become children of God. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And the Bible says that we need to grow in our faith. Is that true? So as Christians, we need to be men and women of faith. But what he's saying to us here, he says that we need to now add integrity to our faith. And that integrity just means moral character. Add moral character to our faith. So, to your faith. And integrity. And to integrity, he says, add knowledge. And to knowledge, add self-control. And to self-control, add endurance. And to endurance, add godliness. Now, godliness in this context is actually talking about having a reverential fear of God. There, right there, okay? And to godliness, add Christian affection, which is basically brotherly kindness. And to Christian affection, add love. All right, we need to be those that walk in love. But now it gets interesting. He says, if you have these qualities and they are increasing. So in other words, if you have these things and they are increasing, so you are increasing in integrity and knowledge and self-control and endurance and godliness and Christian affection and love. If you have these qualities and they are increasing, it demonstrates that your knowledge about the Lord Jesus Christ is living and productive. Right? That means that our knowledge about Jesus is effective and is fruitful. So we can learn a couple of things just from this portion of Scripture. Right? Firstly, that godliness, for us to be godly, it requires divine intervention. You and I can't be godly if we haven't got God in us. Right? He says in verse 3, God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. So we have to have God the Holy Spirit in us and God the Holy Spirit working out things with us in our lives, guiding us and leading us and showing us the way to go. We can't do it by ourselves, folks. We can't become godly without having God. It's as simple as that, right? We can have a form of godliness, but you cannot be godly without having God on the inside of you, which is the Holy Spirit. So we will never ever be able to, and we see it in Scripture, you know, to be good enough without Him. We will never be able to live a morally upright life without having the Holy Spirit dwell within us. And we will also never be able to experience the abundant life that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about without divine intervention. Is that true? I mean, the Scriptures have shown us. Does that make sense? So, basically, we have to have God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives to be able to live a godly life. That's the point I want to make. Right? And how do we do that? You know, how do we receive the Holy Spirit? Well, we need to receive God's gift to mankind, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we receive Him as our personal Lord and Savior. That's what we do. And as we receive Him as our personal Lord and Savior, we now have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. Ephesians 1 verse 13, it says, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, believed in Jesus, listen here, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So when we receive Jesus, it's at that point that we receive the Holy Spirit, right? And you know, it goes on to say that the Holy Spirit, this is verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. So we have the Holy Spirit, and that is God's mark upon us, that we will spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God in eternity in heaven. Amen. So it's the Holy Spirit. We had, you know, discussions, I think, during the course of the week. You know, does the Holy Spirit, once we have the Holy Spirit, does the Holy Spirit leave us? So so we don't, that we're not born again anymore. We won't get into that right now. But we have to ask ourselves those questions. What do we believe? So that's the first thing. For us to be godly, we need to have God on the inside of us. The second thing that we can learn from that portion of Scripture right there is godliness requires human investment. Because it's no good to us just getting born again and then we park off on Dad's yacht and we don't, you know, move any further with our walk with the Lord. And that was partly what I shared last week, because one of the things we need to do, make sure that there is a renewing of our minds, that our thinking starts to line up with the Word of God. Now listen to this, I'll just read it here. So there's a human investment as well. Verse 5 says, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness," which is integrity, "and goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with perseverance, and perseverance with godliness." In other words, we have to make every effort now to be godly. Sorry, that's 2 Peter 1:5. So we have to make the effort, right? It's one thing, the first step is that we receive the Holy Spirit, because otherwise you can't be godly. But then we have to do something as well. You know, we have to make the effort. We need to start to see this, and we need to work at this. We need to start to renew our minds and do a whole lot of things. This is interesting. In 1 Timothy 4:7, it says, "Have nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness." Does that mean it just happens? No, folks. There's a responsibility on us to do something. We need to train ourselves for godliness, for us to be a godly people. Right, so we can see here that God actually works through our efforts. He didn't have to choose to do it that way, but He has. He's chosen, that's the way He's chosen to do it. So He will make sure that He's on the inside of us when we make a decision to receive His Son, and then we have a responsibility to grow in godliness and work at this and train ourselves in godliness as well. So the choices that we make and what we invest our time has will impact our lives. Really. Our decisions will impact our lives. And that's why God wants us to turn away from this world and this world system and start to embrace what He wants us to embrace, as we see in the Word. So we need to make the right choices now to live a godly life. Investing our lives into the things that Jesus invested His life into. So the next question then should be, well, what did Jesus invest His life into? Are we okay out there? Do we need to crank up the air cons? You want it colder, you say? All right, so we need to invest our lives into what Jesus invested His lives into. And one of the things Jesus knew very well was the Word. Am I right? And even Paul, you remember when Paul, when he spoke to Titus in Titus 1 verse 1. Now, from Paul, a servant of God and yet an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to go off at a tangent here right now, because here's an opportunity for me to address something that I think needs to be addressed. And this is this thing where we see in churches that we start to, as pastors, pastors elevating themselves and giving themselves titles. All right? Where, you know, I am Bishop so-and-so. I am Apostle so-and-so. Folks, bishop is what you do. Apostle is what you do. Teacher is what you do. Now listen to Paul, because it's very clear here, and somehow we think as we get into ministry that we can start to, you know, earn, we'll demand respect of people by giving ourselves a title, right? I am Pastor Dave. My name is Dave, and what I do is a pastor. Listen to what Paul says, just here, it says here, Paul when he's writing to Titus, he says, "From Paul, a servant of God, and yet an apostle of Jesus Christ." He says, my name's Paul, and I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. He didn't say, from Apostle Paul. I'm just saying. Okay. Now, when I was preparing this, I didn't want to go there, but I just couldn't resist it. Okay, so let me get back to what I was talking about. What was that? Jesus, and we need to invest ourselves, you know, in the Word of God. So he says, from Paul, not Apostle Paul, from Paul, a servant of God, yet an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the full knowledge of the truth. Now, the full knowledge of the truth is the full knowledge of the Word of God. That's the truth, the Word of God. That leads to godliness. Knowing the Word of God, folks, leads to godliness. And that is why it's so important that we get into our Bibles and we start to read God's Word. So knowing the truth of the Word of God is important. Let's take time each day to read to read our Bibles. And because the Word of God will show us, you know, what we should do and what we shouldn't do. With Jesus as well. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness? He was being tempted by Satan. Not tested by Satan. He was being tempted. Remember, Satan tempts. It is the Holy Spirit that will test us. Right. So Jesus was in the wilderness and Satan was tempting him. And he came and he gave him a whole lot of things. How did Jesus respond? He said, "It is written." Quoted the Word of God. Then Satan came and he threw another thing at him. "It is written." Did it again. "It is written." So we can see how important it is for us to know the Word of God. And of course, Jesus knew the truth of the Word. We know that, obviously. And we, just like him, we need to know the truth and we need to apply it in our own lives. So when Satan comes to you and tells you, you know, or lays sickness on you or whatever it is written, that we start to use the Word of God, because the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay? And you have a look at the armor of God. It is the Word of God that is there. It's the only one there that is offensive. The sword. The sword. 2 Timothy 3:16. Scripture. Is Scripture, where does Scripture come from? Where does this come from? It says, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching and for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness. So all Scripture is God-breathed. We know that all Scripture was written over a period of years, right? And it was written by the hand of man. But it was under the unction, under the anointing, under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit. And that is one of the first things, you know, unbelievers will say to you. Yeah, but you know what, brother? You know, Scripture, you know, that man, that guy wrote thing all those years ago. Yeah, by the hand of man, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness. Why? So that the man or the woman of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So folks, I want to say we need to know the Word of God so that you and I can be fully equipped for every good work that He wants us to do. So that's the first thing that Jesus would do, right? The second thing that Jesus invested Himself in was prayer. Did Jesus pray? So if you and I want to live a godly life, we must invest ourselves in prayer like Jesus did, so that we can spend time in God's presence, us speaking to God and God speaking to us. Listen to Luke 5:15. This is about Jesus. It says, but now, even more, the report about him, about Jesus, went abroad, it says, and great crowds gathered to hear him. So crowds were coming from all over the place to hear Jesus. And also it says to be healed of their infirmity. So they knew, they wanted to hear him, and they also wanted to be healed. We see it right there. But verse 16 says, now you've got these great crowds. Watch what Jesus does. But he would withdraw to a desolate place, or deserted place, and pray. So Jesus was made sure that he was always connected, that he stayed connected to the Father through prayer. And that's the same as us, folks. We need to make sure that we stay connected to the Father through prayer if we want to live a godly life. Another one with Jesus in Mark 1 verse 35, it says, and rising, this is Jesus, rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he, Jesus, departed and he went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. There he prayed. So folks, us too, just like Jesus. Jesus made sure he was praying and in contact, connected to the Father all the time. We need to be doing the same, praying so that we are connected to the Father. The third thing that Jesus invested himself in was people. So if we are going to be godly people and we are going to represent Jesus well, because we should be coming more and more like him, that means that you and I should be investing in people, serving people, helping people. Is that true? Amen. It is true. We see Matthew 10 verse 28. This is Jesus speaking. He says, even as the Son of Man came not to be served. So Jesus didn't come to serve for people to serve him. Not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So the question is, are you and I serving? Are we serving other people? Especially in the church, we need to be connected. Too many of us, it's just our family, I'm just connecting with my family, or we say, us four and no more. This is a decision that we have to make. In Galatians 5 verse 13 it says, for you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And I want to challenge us here this morning, just even with this group here. What can we do? What way can we kind of step out of the boat and actually serve somebody? Connect with somebody. Be a friend to somebody. All right? Let's find ways, guys. Let's find ways to do this. Another step towards godliness is when we invest in worshiping in song. Now, I love this. You know, this is part of what we do. We gather together, we have a worship team, and we start to do it together. We start to worship in song. In Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Then it says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. That means we jump out of bed in the morning and these psalms come out of our, you know, praise you Lord, into the shower, whatever you do, praise you, you worship you. These songs, just songs, worshiping him. It should be a lifestyle of worship, just exalting Lord, just praise you, into our car, yeah, glorify you. That's what it says, right? With these spiritual songs just rising up on the inside of us. And also worshiping in song is going to help us to lead a godly life. And I want to tell you a secret. I know we all like secrets, all right? But I want to tell you a secret here this morning. Don't let anyone else know, okay? God loves loud. God loves loud worship, and he encourages us to do it. When you go into a church, shh, brother, don't make a noise. Serious. Okay. I don't know if it's they're scared that we're going to wake God up, or we're going to wake the dormini up, but just don't make a noise in church. It's not done. It's not good, you know. Don't make a noise. God doesn't like noises in church. I want to read a Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Now watch this. Praise him with the trumpet. How many of you have heard a trumpet played quietly? Toot, toot, toot. You can't play a trumpet quietly. Praise Him with the trumpet sound. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the tambourine. Have you ever played the tambourine quietly? Okay, tambourine. And dance. And praise Him with strings. My goodness, does that mean guitars in church? Yes. Strings and pipes. Praise Him with, listen to this, the sounding cymbals. Have you ever heard a cymbal being played quietly? But that's not all. Praise Him with the loud clashing cymbals. Oh my word. This is a noisy thing. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Folks, hey, we must get out of our religious, traditional indoctrination and let's start to do it like the Word tells us to do it. Let's make a noise. Make a joyful noise unto Him. Finally, if we're going to experience, you know, this godliness and become more and more Christ-like, here's one that is probably the most important thing as believers. If you miss everything else I've said so far, listen to this one. Now, this is this thing of we must invest in seeking and saving the lost. That's what Jesus did. Now, we've got a choice as a church. Okay, let's do some programs. We'll do this program and we'll outreach. We'll do this program and we'll have all these programs. I want to say to you that God is speaking to each one of us sitting here today to go and do for the extension of His kingdom, seeking and saving the lost, what He has told you and I to do. We don't have to, I'm not opposed to programs and all of that, but God speaks to each one of us individually. And let me say this, folks, if we are not out there doing what God has told us to do in terms of seeking and saving the lost, we are just another club. That's what we are. Oh, we just pull into church and we warm up a seat on a Sunday and well, see you next week. Is this true? This is true. This seeking and saving the lost. Jesus said, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So Jesus did this. This is why He came, to seek and save the lost. And if Jesus came to seek and save the lost, it is our responsibility to seek and save the lost as well. And this is called Luke 19:10. And this is called the Great Commission. And it's what it says, we need to get out there, right? Get out into all the world, into our Jerusalems, our Judeas and our Samarias and to the ends of the earth. Our Jerusalems. Those people, when you're standing in a queue at Pick and Pay, here's an opportunity for that person, you know, get talking to them. When you go to the post office, around here, wherever you spend your day, you know, your sphere of influence, we need to start to tell them. That's our responsibility. That's our Jerusalem. Our Judea is a little bit further away. When you go to Bloemfontein, and Naboomspruit, and Oorgies, wherever you go, tell them. Find opportunities. Ask the Lord to give you opportunities. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, that's where there's other language groups. Okay, if you're out of this country, speak to them as well, and to the ends of the earth. I want to say that this is in the Bible. It's called the Great Commission. It is the responsibility of each one of us. And please, folks, you know, okay, we can put programs that we all do these things. But God speaks to us. He's speaking to each one of us. He's speaking individually to us. I was speaking to somebody this morning, you know, police station. Well, I just feel the Lord, you know, telling me to go and kind of minister to the police station. Hospitals. There's hospitals. Our local security companies. There's whatever's happening around here. Let's take this thing seriously. Even if we take everything else that I've said so far, where we've just not received it. But we have to be very careful that this doesn't become a club, a Christian club where we pull together every Sunday morning and we hear a message and... is that okay? We know it in our hearts. We know that this is the truth. And you know, the way to get around the fear of it as well is to say, Lord, please just bring people across my path and give me an opportunity to tell them. That's how we can start. Just pray into it. At least if you're asking God to do it and He wants you to do it, I can assure you He will make an opportunity for us. So this thing is so important, the Great Commission. There's no option when it comes to this. When those doors open over there just now, we are entering into our mission field. Right? And we get back here next week to be filled up again, hopefully. But that's our mission field. That's where it all happens out there. When last, I'm just asking, when last did you tell someone about Jesus? This is not an option. Amen. So in closing, and I won't do what I did last week. Maybe I should apologize for last week. Last week I said, I'm going to share for 31 minutes. And then Catherine told me it was 58 minutes. And then I thought about that and I thought, well, 31 minutes was my preparation. The balance was the Holy Spirit. So go and, if you have an issue with it, go and speak to the Holy Spirit, okay? All right. So just a summary of what I've said here. For us to reflect godliness, we must just do those things that Jesus did. We need to spend time reading the Word of God. Jesus knew the Word of God. Jesus used the Word of God. We need to be spending time meditating and learning the Word of God so that it's on the inside of us. We need to spend time in His presence. That's so important. We need to worship God and worship God in song. And you can do it loud. You can do it loud. Okay? I promise you, well, I don't see it in a word. I don't believe God is hard at hearing. All right? And I don't think He will be offended by us worshiping Him loudly. You can do it quietly as well, but know that you are allowed to do it loudly as well. All right? We need to serve other people. Jesus said that He came to serve. We need to be doing the same. We need to, what I've just said now, seeking and saving the lost. Part of what we need to be doing. Obviously, having a deep relationship with God is so important. And I really do believe that when we do these things, we will experience that godliness. We will start to feel satisfied within ourselves. When we do these things, also, we'll become more Christ-like. And that's, as Christians, that's our objective. Am I right? So, we start to become doers and not just hearers of the Word of God. So let us just choose now, to love the Lord, our God, with all our heart and all our soul. It's what He wants us to do. Love Him with all our heart and all our soul. And to love our neighbors as ourselves. And you are going to heaven. And you love them enough to make sure that they go too. Just saying. That's an important one. Great commandment and great commission. So we choose every effort, make every effort towards godliness. My last scripture here today, Hebrews 10:24, it says, and let us consider how to stir up one another. Now, how do we stir up one another? It says to love and good works. How do we stir up one another to love and good works if we do not connect with one another? Have you thought about that? How do we do it? Then he goes on to say, now, I don't want to lay a number on anybody, but this is what the writer of Hebrews said. And we don't know who he is. Maybe that's why he kept it. No one knows who wrote Hebrews. Verse 25, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some. Thank you, Lord, that no one in this church is like that. Okay? But not neglecting to meet together, right? Get together here on Sundays, as is the habit of some. And there's a reason for that, and he tells us why. But encouraging one another, when we get together like this, we need to take time out and start to speak to each other and start to encourage one another. It says, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, the day of the Lord. I'll say it again. Do you think we have tea, cookies, and coffee over there just because it's a good idea? The reason is, it gives us an opportunity to do this, encourage one another. Courage. Encourage. Amen. Nearly done. So, we need to make sure that we plug ourselves, if you're part of this local church, we plug ourselves into the local church. We plug ourselves into the local church with commitment, in terms of our spiritual walk. And let us not be a people that just go to church. You know people like that. Am I right? I go to church, right? What does that mean? Well, I go there on a Sunday and I warm that little chair up for 90 minutes, and then I'm out of there. And then I go to church next week as well. Let's not be like that. Let us be a people who actually serve together, who actually serve the Lord together. And let us do this thing wholeheartedly. Let us together have this relationship with the Lord. You know, God gave us that scripture, that abundant life. He wants us to experience it. And it's really a choice. This, what I mentioned today, is a choice. We get born again and we can now choose godliness. But let me say, as I've given us the scriptures, it takes effort. We're not just going to become godly. We're not going to just, you know, kind of walk in the favor of God, although you are a child of God. But if we start to embrace what the Word says, I'm telling you, He says, well, we saw the scripture, it's beneficial for us here while we are on planet Earth, and it is really beneficial for us in eternity as well. So let's choose life. Let's choose a life of godliness. Let's choose to be godly. It doesn't just happen. Amen. Amen.